Okay, today's daf is Becharos daf Mem Dalet. We are reading on daf Mem Gimel and Beis. We're at the second to last Mishnah on daf Mem Gimel and Beis. So again, we're discussing the various Mumei Adam, the Mumin that would passel of Kohen from doing the Avodah. So says the Mishnah, Ein lo gvinin, if a Kohen doesn't have eyebrows, or Ein lo el gavin echad, or he only has one eyebrow, a unibrow, Zeh gabon ha'amuru b'Torah. When the Torah says gabon, that's what it's referring to. Rabbi Dosa Omer she gvinin shochvin, it means that he has extremely long eyebrows that go over his eyes. Rabbi Chanin ben Tiganus Omer, Sheshla Shnei Gabin Vishteshadraos. No, it's referring to someone, nothing to do with eyebrows. It's referring to someone who has two backs and two spines. That's what Gavinin means. Milashram Gav from Lashon of a back. The Rashash points out in the Mishnah that why would it have to tell me that someone who doesn't have any eyebrows at all is considered a mum when it already tells me that someone who has only one is considered a mum? The Gemara had previously asked on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, the Gemara said, Hashte Ein Lo Ela Beitza Achas Amr Tavi Muma Ein Lo Klal Mi Ba'i, that when it came to the Beitzim, we said that someone who has only Beitza Achas is considered a mum. So you have to tell me that if he doesn't have any, so the same should be said about the eyebrows. So the Rashash points out, no, it's different, because one might have argued that if he has only one eyebrow, that's more ma'us than not having any at all, because it's deformed rather than not having any at all, as opposed to by the Beitzim, when you have one, it's at least a regular Beitzim. Over here, when you have one, by definition, it's not normal, it's a deformity. And Rabbi Dos says Gvinim Shochvin, so Rashi explains that means the hairs of his eyebrows are very large and they go down over his face. So the Tiferes Yisrael in Mishnayos says that there's a simple way to solve this mum. He just cuts them. If you megaleach, if you cut them, then you'd be chozer the kashruso, even though it will grow back again. So the raya would be from the Gemara in Ksuba stuff, Ayin Hey, where the Gemara says that the psul zeh of a reyach hapeh is yesh lo takana, that a kohen who has a psul, that he has a terrible breath or something like that, so all he has to do is take a Listerine strip and then he's good, and then he's able to do the avoda. So apparently these psulim are only a psul while you're doing the avoda. As long as they're fixable, you should and can fix them, and then it would be no problem. Okay, says the Gemara, v'gaben de'in lo mashma, does the word gaben in the Torah imply that you're missing something, that you don't have something, or a minhu, gaben sheyesh lo gvinin harbei? We have a brisa that says, no, gaben itself would imply that you have many eyebrows. They have gvinin harbei. The Chazanish says, no, gvinin harbei doesn't mean long eyebrows. That's what the Mishnah spoke about. Over here it means it doesn't mean that gvinim shochvim, like we said, but rather it means that Kohen has gvinim aruchim like Rashi says that he the gabus ein of mitstarfos venim sakin l'shnei gvinim, that they connect as a single unibrow, that they're not divided into two, or maybe like the Rambam says that he has gvinim yesrael shnayim, that if you look at his forehead it looks like he's got three or four eyebrows, either because there's a line in between, a bald spot that cuts them from top to bottom, or cuts them halfway in between from right to left, but it looks like he has three or four eyebrows. That's Gvinim Harbe. But anyway, Gabon apparently implies many eyebrows. Ein lo gvinim o ein lo el gavin echad minayin. How do I know that if he doesn't have eyebrows or he only has one eyebrow? That's also included. Tam lomer o gabon. So it's dafka from the extra word o that we learn that that's also a mum. So how could our mission imply that gabon means that the mashmaus of the word itself is that it's less than two eyebrows? The brisa seems to say that the mashmaus of the word itself is that it's more than two eyebrows. So amrav zeu medrash o gabon. But no, when the Mishnah says that zehu gabon, that when you have only one or you have none, that's the gabon hamur b'Torah, it means that's the whole drusha from the phrase oh gabon that it says in the Torah. But in Chinami, the word itself would imply not that you have fewer, but that you have more. Rabbi Dosa Omer, then we had Rabbi Dosa in the Mishnah that said shegabinim shochvin. So the Meimer then, but we're not going to Rabbi Dosa. We're going to be commenting on Rabbi Chanina ben Atiganus, who said that no, it refers to someone who has shnei gabin v'shnei shidraos, two backs and two spines. So the Meimer d'chai, wait a second, can such a person even live? V'ayit maram pelsberi yishnei shnei gabin v'shnei shidraos v'amarav v'isha in a vlad b'behem asr b'achila. It's not considered a vlad at all. Apparently a person has no ability to live if you have two spines. So kvar raman yale Rav Simi Barchia l'rav, Rav Simi Barchia already asked the stira to Rav, va'amar le, and Rav responded, Simiat, what are you talking about? How could you not not be able to answer this question. You are Rav Simi, you're a Chacham Gadol Kamoscha, someone as smart as you, doesn't know how to answer such a Pashat Akasha in the Mishnah, that he says, no, Ela B'Shisha Drasa Akuma. It doesn't really mean he has two backs. It means that he's very, very much hunched over. That's what it's referring to. Obviously, if he actually has two backs, then that would be a real problem. He wouldn't be able to live. But that's not what our Mishnah means when it talks about a gabon. It's interesting. We had an insult the other day, or a comment the other day, about someone saying I'm so surprised someone as stupid as you was able to come up with such a brilliant terrorist. Over here you have the opposite. So you question which one is the bigger insult. Someone as smart as you shouldn't be able to answer this question. I'm very surprised, he says. Okay, so new Mishnah. Hacharum pasul. A charum is pasul. One problem. Ezu charum. What is a charum? So hakochel shtei ein of ka'achas. If a person is able to color both of his eyes at one time, that Rashi explains that means shein lo klal chotem in shtei ein of. He doesn't have a nose between his two eyes, that they're right next to each other and there's nothing in between. So when he's brushing the makeup over his eyes, he could just take one long eyeliner stick or whatever it is that they would use and put it over both eyes at one time. So that's a mum. Shtei ein of lamala. If he has both eyes above, ushtein of lamata, or both eyes below, ein of achas lamala, ein of achas lamata, or one eye above, one eye below, or roes achid of asaliyah ke'echad, he's able to look with both of his eyes, one of his eyes looking at the bottom floor, the other eye looking at the top floor, both at the same time. So these are all mumim. Sachi shemesh, a person who's unable to be out in the sun because his eyes can't handle the sun. Vazagdan, a person who's very teary eyed. Vahatziran, Gemara will explain all these. Vishanashu Riseinov, or his eyelashes fall out. Possible in Marisa Ayin. They're possible because of Marisa Ayin. Again, we discussed it. That's only going on the last one. Nashu Riseinov is a Marisa Ayin issue. The rest of them are real Mumin. Remember, we discussed yesterday the different types of Mumin. There are three categories. Either those Mumin that are equal by both man and behema. Then there are those Mumin that are dafka for human beings. Then there are those Mumin that aren't even really Mumin. They're just a Marisa Ayin issue. So we went through the nafkaminas on the top of the Amud over here, whether it's Mechal Avoda, if it's a real mum, it's Mechal Avoda. If it's not, it's not Mechal Avoda. If it's just something that applies only to people, it's not Mechal Avoda. And if it's something that's only Mishum Marisa Ayin, it's not even a violation of a mitzvah saseh. Fine, says the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, Chorim Shechotmo Shakua. Chorim means that his nose is sunken in. Chotmo Soled, or his nose is very tiny. Chotmo Bolem, or his nose is closed up, his nostrils are closed up. Chotmo notef, or his nose hangs very low. Rashi says, Aruch v'talim in lamata misvaso, it hangs below his lip. It's such a hook nose that it hangs all the way below his lip. So minayin, how do I know that these are included? Tam lomar o charum. Rabbi Yossi omar ein charum ela hakochel shtein of ka'achas. Rabbi Yossi says, no, charum means that he could color both of his eyes at the same time. Amru lo, so the Chacham said to him, "Iflagta, you're going overboard by limiting it to such right." Rashi says, "Iflagta, yosu midai amet afal pishenu mashuk kol kach avicharim." By you're going overboard by saying that it has to be so sunken in that you can literally color both eyes at one time. We don't think that that's true. It doesn't have to be that sunken in. It's already a mum before it gets to that point that it's that sunken in. Afal pishenu kol chashtein of kachas. We think even if you can't be kochel both eyes at the same time, it would already be a mum. So in the Gemara we see clearly that Rabbi Yossi's shita is the one that's expressed in the Mishnah. But the Chacham disagree, and they think that even Eino Kochel Shein of Kachas is a bal mum. The Rambam paskins like the Chachamim against Rabbi Yossi. So the Kesem Mishnah wonders, why would the Rambam paskin against a Stam Mishnah? Here you have a Stam Mishnah, Machlokas in the Braisa. Normally you would paskin like the Stam Mishnah, and which is Rabbi Yossi's shita, that only if you're Kochel Shein of Kachas is considered a mum. So says the Kesem Mishnah, it could be the Rambam paskins this way because the Tanakama is cholik on Rabbi Yossi belashon tema. Hiflagta, how could you go so far? Sounds like Rabbi Yossi is very illogical, meaning the language that's employed in a machloka. So sometimes I see your opinion, I disagree with it. So such a language would imply just a regular machlokas. But hiflagta implies that Rabbi Yossi has no svara whatsoever. From the fact that the Gemara quotes that lashon implies that the Gemara is trying to show that we reject Rabbi Yossi's Shita. Now Rashi and Chumash happens to quote Shitas Rabbi Yossi. Rashi and Chumash, Vayikra Perichav Al Pasu Yirches, mentions Rabbi Yossi. Yossi's shita. So the Re'em over there asks, why does he bring Rabbi Yossi? It's against the Tanakhama, so it's Nidchala Alacha. So Rosh Hash points out that Rashi, what do you mean? Rashi's going quoting what it says in the Stam Mishnah. So maybe Rashi holds that the Stam Mishnah versus the Machlokas and the Brayso, so against the Rambam, that the Stam Mishnah is more correct, the Halacha, than the shita of the Tanakhama that's mentioned in the Brayso. Okay, Shtein of Lamala, Shtein of Lamata, the Mishnah went on to say, if he has two eyes above, two eyes below, one above, one below, so Mashtein of Lamala, Shtein of Lamata. What does it mean exactly that two eyes above, two eyes below? If you want to say Shtein of Lamala means his eyes are situated in the right spot on his head, it's just that they both point up always, they're always looking up. Shtein of Lamata, Dechazi Lamata. And Shtein of Lamata means the eyes are situated in the right spot on his head, but they're always looking down. And one above, one below again means they're situated in the right place, but one eye, for whatever reason, is always looking up, and the other one is always looking down, and he's unable to control that. So, frankly, that can't be, because then that last one would be the same as the next moment that's mentioned in the Mishnah, which is that he sees the bottom floor and the top floor at the same time. That's Eino Achas looking above, Eino Achas looking below. Ella, rather, what it must mean is as follows. Shtein of Lamala, Dekaim on Lamala. His eyes are situated in the wrong place on his head. They're a little too high. Shtein of Lamata, Dekaim on Lamata. They're a little too low. Eino Achas Lamala, Eino Achas Lamata, Dekaimui. Eino Achas Lamala, Eino Achas Lamata. That it means that one of his eyes is situated too high on his head, the other one is situated too low on his head. Vekaimi kisidra nami veroa sachede vasalia kachas. And then the next mum talks about when they're in the right spot on his head, but one of them looks up and one of them looks down. So minan imili, how do I know that that's also included? Tan rabbanan be'eno, kol masha be'eno. From be'eno we learn that anything that's be'eno is included. Mikan amru, shtein of lamata, shtein of lamala, eino achas lamala, eino achas lamata, v'roas achede v'saliya kachas, all of those things. O shem dabirim chavero, v'acher omer li roe, or if you're speaking to your friend, and then someone else who you're not even speaking to says, is that guy looking at me? Because his eyes are wandering, and they're not, even though he's obviously looking at the person he's speaking to, his eyes are wandering out of his control. Tan rabbanan, Iver bein suma b'shtein of bein suma ba'achas meinav. An iver means someone who's blind, whether he's blind in one eye, whether he's blind in both eyes, he's considered to be blind. Chavar varva mayim akvun minayin. How do I know other eye ailments, such as what we discussed by the behema? If he has spots in his eye, white specks in his eye, or water in his eye, that's always there. How do I know that that's also included as a mum of Adam? Tamalomar ish iver. That's why we have an extra word ish in the pasuk. Why does he need all these words to describe different eye elements? Just tell me that a guy who's blind is a bal mum, and then I'll know that all these different eye elements are included. So it says, no, we need every single one of them. If it would have said iver, I would have said, yeah, a guy who doesn't have eyes is included in iver. That's less new klal, a guy who has nothing. Lo, but I would have thought that Chavavar and Mayim Akvum, at least he's got eyes, that maybe that shouldn't be included. That should not be a mum. Kas Rachmana Ish. Vikas Rachmana Ish. And if it would have said Ish, Mishum Dloka Chazi Klal, I would have said, yeah, by Chavavar and Mayim Akvum and an Iver, none of them are able to see anything. Right? Iver, we're assuming, as is obvious from the Shakla Vitaria of the Gemara over here, means that his eyes were literally poked out. It doesn't just mean that he doesn't have use of his eyes. Chavavar and Mayim Akvum are what we would call a blind person, a person who has eyes but is unable to see. So anyway, but had I only been told about those, I would have said, yeah, because they can't see at all. Aval machasuraisa lo, but someone whose vision is poor as a result of some sort of mum, I would not have assumed that's considered a bal mum. Kas rachman a duck, that's why the pasuk says duck, to include even someone who has a mum that makes his vision very poor. Vikas rachman a duck, mishum de machasran, aval Valbelisa lo, and if it would have said duck, I would have said, yeah, that's because it makes his vision poor. But Valbelisa, when there's white going in the part of his eye that's supposed to be black, and just the colors are all messed up, and the different areas of the eye are messed up, but he sees just fine, I would have thought that's not a mum. So kas rachmana tavlul, vikas rachmana tavlul, mishum de mvalbelan, avu mishum shanyusa lo. And had it only said tavlul, I would have said, yes, when the colors are messed up and the whole eye looks deformed, so that's where it's a problem. But mishanyusa Medusa when it's placed on the wrong spot in the head. Like if one eye is above, one eye is below. When it's located in the wrong place, I would have thought that's an animal. Because Rachmana be'eno, that's why it says be'eno. Amar Rava Hilkaf Kol Machmas Kayusa Asya Me'ish Mechusraisu Midakma V'lutu Mitavu Meshanusa Mibe'eno. So any sort of eye ailment that comes as a result of that leads to a blurred vision, we learn from Ish. Anything that leads to Mechus Raisa, from the seeing a little bit, but again, anything that's Kayusa that you can't see at all, that we learn from Ish. Anything that's from a blurred vision or a lower level of vision, that we learn from Duck. Valbalisa, we learn from Tavlul, if the parts of the eye are the colors are messed up. And Mishanusa, we learn from Be'eno. If there's some sort of shinoi where the eyes are, so that we learn from Be'eno. Sach Eshemesh, the Mishnah also listed someone who is Sach Eshemesh, who's unable to be out in the sun because his eyes have a difficult time with the sun. So Tanya Rav Yosef, Sun Eshemesh. An easy way to remember it is that the Chaf and the Nun are easily interchangeable. They look very similar. So instead of saying Sach Eshemesh, say Sun Eshemesh. People who hate the sun can't stand to be in the sun. Zegadion, what's that? Machvi Rafunas. Rafuna demonstrated Chad Mididon v'Chad Miditu. He showed off, if you have one eye like mine, Rafuna said, and one eye like Rav Yehuda's, that would be that mum. The Ikmid Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda got really upset that he demonstrated on him. That what? Because you use one of my eyes, that makes you a bal mum. So Rashi says that Rav Yehuda's eyes were mishunos. They were very different, unusual eyes. So Rav Yehuda was saying that if you have one normal eye like me and one weird eye like Rav Yehuda, then that would be this kind of mum. So Tosfos just has a problem with that. He says v'lo pirish mehayu mishunos. Rashi doesn't say what was weird about Rav Yehuda's eyes. What was strange about it? So Tosfos is a totally different pshat. Rabbi Natan Mefarish to Rav Yehuda arich bedoro have a dam perakam apeles v'Rav Huna inish gutza have a kedisim zaktainias. This Tosfos is bekiyus. Tosfos showing that when the Gemara makes these offhand comments about the physical attributes of various Amorayim, you got to pay attention. He says we know from Maseches Nida that Rav Yehuda was extremely tall. We know from Maseches Tainis that Rav Huna was extremely short. So it could be that that's what he's saying. When one eye is clearly different, meaning so one was a very large man, one was a very small man. So obviously their eyes were proportional to their bodies. So what Rav Huna was saying was if one eye is very tiny and one eye is very large, that's going to be, that's this kind of mum. And Idafka wanted to show the difference between himself and Rabbi Yehuda, not between an average-sized person, because with an average-sized person, the difference isn't as recognizable as it is between him and Rabbi Yehuda. And he's trying to show that it has to be a big discrepancy between the two eyes, and that's where Rabbi Yehuda got upset. That he says Ulkach Hikpid Rav Yehuda V'Hainu, meaning that he was pointing out that Rav Yehuda was abnormally large. So that got Rabbi Yehuda upset. So Meisivei, in fact, the Gemara Shachevna Shachivin of Shochvim, Shachevna means that his eyebrows rest over his face. Zagdum Echad Shachar V'Echad Lavan. Zagdum means that one is black, one is white. Nothing to do with size. So Tana Kol Zugu De Lo Shavila Dadi Zagdum Karilei. Zagdum refers to any time it's an unmatching pair. It could be unmatching in terms of size, could be unmatching in terms of color. Anytime the eyes don't match, that's going to be Zagdum. Hatziran ain of Trutos. Hatziran means he has rounded eyes. Vitzirnayos, or very rounded eyes. Domos, Dolfos, Tordos, where he has teary eyes, slightly more teary eyes, very teary eyes. Tana Hazadir Va'alufin Va'atamir, these various mumen are as follows. Zavir de Mazarene. Zavir means his eyes are always jumping all over the place. Lufin de Nefishin Zife. Lufin means that he has many eyelashes. Tamir Shetamu Zifin, that his eyelashes fell out. Vahani Gabe Mumin Tanu Luhu. Wait a second, should these be mentioned amongst the Mumin? Vatanan, Shanashurish Sayanov, Pasanli Maris Ayin. Our Mishnah said that no, if your eyelashes fall out, it's not a real Mum, it's only a Maris Ayin issue. So how could you mention it amongst the real Mumin? So look, Kasha, Hadi Shtair Gardume, Hadil Shtair Gardume. It depends if the roots are left after the eyelashes fall out. If the roots are still there, then it's not a real Mum, it's only a Maris Ayin issue, because then the eyelashes could grow back, but if the roots aren't even there anymore, then the eyelashes are not going to grow back, and that's going to be considered a real mum. Fine. Vaiter and Mumin in the next Mishnah, Ein of Gedolus Kishal Egal or Ketanus Kishal Avas. If a man has eyes that are large like a cow's eyes, or small like a goose's eyes. Gufo gadol me'evarav or katan me'evarav, if his body is disproportionate with his limbs, he has, let's say, arms and legs of a small person, but his body is of a large person, and vice versa. Chotmo gadol me'evarav or katan me'evarav, his nose is disproportionate to the rest of his body. Hatzomim vatzomea, or some lose it tzomim or tzomea. So ezu tzomea, what does it mean that he's a tzomea? So kol she'aznav ketanos, when he has very small ears, that means that's tzomea. Vatzomim, what does tzomim mean? Kol she'aznav domos l'sfog, if his ears are like sponges, that they're just mushy and you could just squeeze them like a sponge. Sfas al-yona odefes al-tachtona, tachtona odefes al-yona, harei zemum. If his upper lip goes out above his lower lip, or his lower lip goes out above his upper lip, that's a mum. I mean, it goes out past, further out than his upper lip, that's a mum. Vishenashru shina of pasul mnei marisa ayin. If his teeth all fell out, then it's only a psul mishem marisa ayin. That's also psul. I think in the biography that they printed in the beginning of the 8th volume of Igros Moshe, of Moshe Feinstein, when he needed to get dentures, he requested that that they leave a couple of teeth in. That he didn't want all nashru shina, if he thought that would be a mum. He was very makbid, apparently, by a lot of different medical procedures they wanted to do. He wanted to know, he wanted to understand exactly what they were doing and whether it would actually make him a bal mum, because he would always say that, I don't know always, but they said he pointed out that if Mashiach were to come and we're mechaka b'chol yom sheyavo, he says, unfortunately, there are very few qualified people in our generation, so probably people are going to ask me to serve on the Sanhedrin, so I can't be a bal mum if I'm going to be asked to serve in the Sanhedrin. Till we have tchias ha-mesim, when we have more qualified people, he felt that he was gonna be needed. He probably would have been the Rosh HaSanhedrin, but you know, he that's a maisa that reflects a person who understands his place in Jewish society. That's not a lack of anivus. No one would accuse Rav Moshe of any lack of anivus, but he understood that he was going to be needed by the tzibur, and he was afraid to become a balmum. That's not from the art school biography. That's from the one that the family wrote. That's okay. Okay, says the Gemara. Amar Rav, Moshe Rabbeinu Eser Amos Hayah. Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 Amos. So Rashi says the assumption we're saying over here is, what's the definition of an Amma? Not some random number, some number of 18 inches or 24. No, Amma means the length from your elbow to the tip of your middle finger. So we're saying Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 Amos, meaning his body was so disproportionate that he was 10 of his own Amos. Normally a person is 3 of their own Amos, 3 up until shoulder height of their own Amos. But his body was so disproportionate that he was 10 Amos. Because it says that he spread the oil over the Mishkan. Ma pirsu, mi pirsu, Moshe Rabbeinu pirsu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who did it. Uksiv esar amos arecha keresh, but the boards of the Mishkan were 10 amos high. So obviously he must have been 10 amos in order to be able to spread it over. Some of them have seen barchil the rav imkena sisul Moshe Rabbeinu balmum. Wait a second, that would make Moshe Rabbeinu balmum if he was so disproportionate. Because we just said that if your avarim are not proportionate with your body, that's an indication of a balmum. Ditzran gufa gadol me'evarav. No. When we say that he was 10 amos, we don't mean 10 of his own amma. His arms were also very large. It means he was 3 of his own amos, but he was 10 amos of standard amos, when you go with standard amos size. Why is it impossible to believe that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Baal Mum? Why can't it be that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Baal Mum? So the Chassam Sofer, Netshuv, and Archaim, Simin Yud Beis, writes that Moshe Rabbeinu had to be a Tamim because he was the Rosh HaSanhedrin. And all the members of the Sanhedrin, like we just mentioned with Rav Moshe Feinstein, all the members of the Sanhedrin are puzzled there if they have any sort of mum, whether they're mum haposlim b'kohanim or mum haposlim b'levim, they would be puzzle. I frektach samsof, or Moshe Rabbeinu was an aral svasayim, and that puzzles b'levim. Levim have to be able to sing, and if they're an aral svasayim, it's no good. Says samsof, that can't be considered a mum, because that happened as a result of a nes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for him. So mela, that's not going to be considered a mum. That's quite a chiddush. You would think a mum is a physical deformity, doesn't look so good. But if everyone knows that it happened as a result of a nes, then adrabah, that's the greatest kiddush Hashem to have such a mum. The Briska Rav writes the same reason that Chassam Sofer says that it can't be Moshe Rabbeinu was a Baal Mum, and he also adds not only that he's a member of Sanhedrin, Moshe Rabbeinu served as the Kohen Gadol during the Miluim, so obviously he had to be a Tamim if he was going to serve as the Kohen Gadol. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. Chotmo Gadol, so Tana Ketzba Katana, how large is Chotmo Gadol? Is a large nose as big as a pinky, I guess, long as it goes out, protrudes out from the face, as long as the person's pinky. Hatzimim Vatzimeya, Tana Af Hatzimeach The tzimeach is also included on the list. Lo v'yadi rabbanim mai tzimeach. The rabbanim didn't know what that means, though. What is a tzimeach? Shamala hutaya davukamer man to buy a tzimeach. So they heard an Arab merchant running around trying to make a sale, saying, "Hey, who wants to buy a tzimeach?" So they took a quick look. What's he selling? So v'shtakach gadya chaziza. They saw that he was selling a gedi with droopy ears, and they realized that must be tzimeach. Amrav Chista, Eiz she'in la karnayim, v'rachal she'esh la karnayim, k'sherim l'gabim zbeach. If you have an Eiz that doesn't have horns, or a rachal that does have horns, that's not considered so much of a shinui, and therefore it's kasher on the mizbeach, that's perfectly fine. Tanya namihachi, yesh dvarm she'im k'mumin ve'inun k'mumin, v'shat l'alem b'migdash av'lo b'medina. There are certain things that are sort of like mumin, but sort of not like mumin, and you're allowed to shech them in the base of migdash, but not b'medina. Ve'elu hein, Eiz she'in la karnayim, v'rachal she'esh la karnayim. And these are two examples: the Eiz that doesn't have karnayim, and the Rachel that does have karnayim. It's not considered a mum. Vatzimeach, vatzimim, vatzomeah, and it's tzimeach and it's tzimim and tzomeah. Amar of Chista, Amar of Meimar, natu karnosim v'zachrus animan psula vein padin aleim. But let's say you have an animal that had horns, and you removed its horns and the zachrus of the horns with them. If you've ever seen inside the shofar of an animal, there's another bone inside of there. We hollow it out, we take out that bone. If you removed the bone that's inside of the horn together with the horn, it's going to be possible you're not going to be poda such an animal with that either, because it's not a full mum, but it's enough of a mum to be possible. Natu talpayim v'zachrusam imahen. If you take the hooves along with the whole bony structure in the hoof area as well, psulin v'niftin aleihem. So that's a psul, and that's a and that you can be poda. So meisve natu karnayim v'talpayim v'zachrusam imahen psulin v'niftin aleihem. But wait a second, we have another brisa that says that even by the horns, when you take the zach together with it, that's also niftin alehen, you can be poda. And we said before that by the horns you can't be poda. So lo kasha hada yisakure sakure hada egi megume. It depends if you completely uproot it and take out the whole bony structure entirely, or you just shave it down. If you just shave it down, then that's only going to be puzzle, but it's not such a mum gummer that you can't be poda, that you can be poda with it. So you can't be poda. Ude egu megume puzzle. Wait, says Gemara, if you trim it down, you shave it down, that's going to be considered pasul. Or a minu parasha karnav talpesh shchorim yagud. When you have a para aduma, the Mishnah Parah says, if its horns or hooves are black, you can trim it down so that it won't be black, and then you'll be left with a real para aduma. But if you're making it a balmum, how's that allowed? So tirgum aziri mi ilui zachrus. No, when you're trimming it down aside from the zachrus, aside from that extra bone. That extra bone you're still leaving completely in place. The Devar Shol is has a suffix. If your behema is nifsal, when you take only one of the horns or one of the hooves from one of the legs, so he says you can't be medayik from the Gemara. He says he has a suffix about one of the hooves, and he says don't be medayik from the Gemara that it says Lashon Rabim Talpayim, that it must be that it has to be at least two hooves that you remove that would make it a bal mum. But if it's only one, then it would not be considered a mum, because then karnayim you would be able to make the same diuk. And he says that's pashut, that it's not true. It's pashut that even if you take karen echad, that would in fact make it a bal mum. You wouldn't need to take karnayim. I don't know how he knows it's a pashut, but he says that's a davar pashut. Okay, says the next Mishnah. Dadin shochvin kishalisha. Again, we're back to yumin mumin over here. So just one more point. The minchas chinuch in mitzvah shin sadi zayin os tes has an interesting application of a very famous shas rule over here. He says when we say that you have to cut off the talpayim in the place where it's blackened, that's daf. Meaning, let's say you have this para aduma and it's all red except it's got these blackened hooves. So the Mishnah says in para that we just read that you're allowed to cut off the blackened part of the hooves as long as you don't cut off so much that you make it a balmum. Says the Minchas Chinuch, you don't have to cut off the blackened hooves because this is the concept of kolorei labila ain't be the makevis bo. As long as you have the ability to cut them off without making it a balmum, then that's a kasher a para aduma. As long as it's roi labila, it's roi to have them cut off. Same be the ma'akevis bow. So but if the shachrus gets to a point where it gets to the whole bone structure, where cutting it off would mean pasling the animal, then it would be a balmum, and because the fact that you would if you would cut it would make it a balmum, that would pasle the entire the paraduma from being a paraduma. Okay, next Mishnah. Dadin shofin kishalisha. If a man has droopy breasts, like a woman, or kresot tzava, or he has an inflated stomach, or tiburo yot, I don't think it just means fat. I think it means some sort of, unusually bloated stomach. Tiburo yotze, or he has a belly button that's an outie, that's a mum. Nichfa filu achas liyamim, or if he has seizures, even only once in a while. Ruach tzara ba'elav, or he has some sort of, Rashi says, some sort of shade that seizes him. So probably means he gets depressed, or he has some sort of emotional problem. Hamu'ushvan, or a person who's a mu'ushvan, he has large testicles. Ubal gever, or he has a large gid in the aver. So in those things, if they're unusually large, disproportionately large, so that's not just disproportionately large, it would have to be more than that. Chazanish writes, disproportionate is by limbs, by arms and legs, disproportionate with the ears, with noses, and with the aver hazachrus. It wouldn't just be disproportionate because those come in different sizes. It would have to be something that's just really unusual. So Amar Rabbi Yabba Breder Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Mashtinim Mayim Bifnei Rabbim, Vein Shosin Mayim Bifnei Rabbim. Teaches us some etiquette. One can urinate in front in public, but God forbid, one should never drink in public. Drinking in public, that's just disgusting. But a person is allowed to urinate in public. So what is going on over there? So the Gemara in Makkah says that, and we're going to see in our Gemara as well, that if someone holds in when they need to go to the bathroom, it can cause them all sorts of illnesses. But the Gemara in Makkah says even further, Makkah says Zayin Beis, that someone who's Mashas Nekavav is over in Isser called Balta Shaktsu. So Trumas Hadeshin brings a Raya. The Trumas Hadeshin and Siman Tes Zayin says that b'makom b'zayin u'busha, there's no isser of bal tashaktu. I mean, kavod abrios. If the only way you're gonna have to go to the bathroom, let's say you have a chazan who's leading the services and he really has to go to the bathroom in the middle. Someone told me, a rav in the ritual told me that in the middle of Yom Kippur, the chazan calls him over and he starts pointing to Asher Yatzar in his machzar. And he's like, what are you saying? What? No, don't say Asher Yatzar now. He's like, Asher Yatzar. He's pointing to Asher Yatzar that he really needed to go to the bathroom. So that's the Trumas Hadeshin says, Makom Kavod Abrios can be so embarrassing, he's going to walk out of the shul. Makom Kavod Abrios, we're going to allow him to violate Bal Tashaktsu, because Bal Tashaktsu, he says, is really only in a Sidra Banan. The Mash in the Kavav is not really Bal Tashaktsu Doraisa. It would only be in a Sidra Banan. And he brings several Rayos. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that Rava got sick because he was Mash in the Kavav, and the Gemara says that he wasn't able to go to the bathroom whenever he needed to because he was always giving shir, so he couldn't just leave in the middle of the shir. His talmidim, so because of his talmidim, he's over on Bal Tashaktsu. Why was he allowed to do that? Kavod Abrios. This is Gemara in Yevamos that the talmidim of Rav Huna all became unable to have children because they were always holding themselves in because they were embarrassed to leave in the middle of the shir to go to the bathroom. Why weren't they worried about Bal Tashaktsu? Apparently, Kavod Abrios. But says the Tzvor Shar, our Gemara sounds the other way. Our Gemara says that it's mufurish that they were mashtinim mayim b'fnei rabim, that you're allowed to urinate publicly. So it sounds like it's a chiyuv that you better go to, if you have to go to the bathroom, you better go and don't worry about kavod abrios. So he says that you have to say what was going on with the talmidim of Rav Huna and with Rava. It wasn't because of kavod abrios that they were holding themselves in. It was because they were so caught up in the sugya that they didn't even realize they had to go to the bathroom. That's how much focus they had on their learning. That's what happened with them, but not because of kavod abrios. Kavod abrios would not be a reason. You should ignore kavod abrios rather than hold oneself in. We have a brisa that says just like this, that a person, it's okay to urinate publicly, it's not okay to drink publicly. It happened once, a person needed to go to the bathroom, needed to urinate, and he didn't, and his whole stomach blew up. Shmuel itzrich le b'shabbat the regla. Shmuel was giving the Shabbos shear, and he needed to go to the bathroom. Nagdu le glima, so they held up a cloth to give him some privacy so that he could stay right where he was and go to the bathroom, and then they took down the cloth and he was able to continue giving shir. So Asel Kameh Davur, Shmuel went back to Avua de Shmuel to report what had happened. Amle Eten Chadal Me'azuzi V'zila Hadaruvda. He said, I'll give you 400, if only you can go back in time, I'd give you 400 zuz if you could undo what you just did by demonstrably showing that you wanted your privacy to go to the bathroom. Because yeah, it's a nice thing to want your privacy when you go to the bathroom, but at the Efshalach, for you it's possible to have privacy because you have people who are willing to hold up a cloth and to stop the whole shear and to whatever. the law of Shalei the Stakin. But you know what the Talmidim were sitting there are going to think? They're going to think if you can't go in privacy in private, then you shouldn't go at all. And that's going to be a sakana for them. So you did the wrong thing, Avod, the Shmuel tells Shmuel, because you have to set an example for people, and it's not good for their health if they're going to hold themselves in. Mabravashi Isrich Aguda Gamla Ishtin. Mabravashi needed to go to the bathroom when he was passing over a bridge, and he did. So they were trying to tell him, how could you go so publicly like this over a bridge? So they said, your mother-in-law's coming. Which, you know, wanted to see if he would say, oh, my mother-in-law's here. Oh, gosh, I'm embarrassed. So so he said the exact opposite. He said, Udna, if I had to urinate in her ear, I would urinate in her ear too, if that was the only place that I could urinate. So some of the Achronim are a little bothered by this imagery. But what kind of mushel is that? Udna in her ear. So the Sefer Ol Moshe, Lozer Moshe Horvitz, says that Melitza Zora Ma'od. He says that this is a very, very strange melitza for the Gemara. He says, Lule Divrei Rashi, I would have said that what he means to say, that even if his mother was within earshot, she was so close that she could hear that he was urinating, he wouldn't be marchik. If he was in a bathroom that was right off of the room where his mother was, and it had a very thin door, thin walls, and she was able to hear that he was urinating, even that wouldn't stop him from urinating because it's dangerous. But not, very strange to say, Bu'udna Mamish. Okay, put in the interesting mother-in-law Mar Makamos. So frankly, Mar Vitepgle Mishum Alka. So why aren't we worried? Why don't we say that it says he needed to go to urinate and he didn't, and it turned out kresotzava. So how do we know that happened because he didn't go to the bathroom? Maybe he had some sort of maybe he drank something called alka, which causes that to happen, of tzava kreso. Says Mar Bishoses. No, it was going in drips, and that clearly happens as a result of not going to the bathroom, not as a result of drinking that special drink. There's a fascinating tshuva of Moshe as a tshuva about using a urinal that's not so tznius. You know, and a lot of times in yeshivas now, when they make urinals, they put walls between them, barriers or something, to make it a little more tznua. You go to Yankee Stadium or something, and the urinals are just like, it's a very, very open. So you're allowed to use such urinals. So Moshe says, first of all, I recommend going into the stalls and closing the door, even if you only need to urinate. That's certainly, we should try to be makbid on tznius. But he says, Chazal never asked such a thing, because Chazal held that if you need to go publicly, you need to go. So he said, do it with the tznius kol ma de efshar, but a person doesn't have to hold themselves in, rather than using such a urinal. Okay, interesting tshuva. Tanu Rabban, shnei nekavim yesh b'vav demechon motzi shasim echaz motzi shechvah zara. Gemara gives an anatomy lesson. A wrong anatomy lesson, but an anatomy lesson. The Gemara says that there are two holes in a person, one that allows urine out, and one that allows shechvah zara out. Vein ben zelzera klipas hashum, and there's a tiny layer in between them of skin. If there's a hole between those two tubes, so it will turn out that he won't be able to have children. By the way, that's not true. We have one; it comes out of the same place. In fact, our body, if a person is going to be motzi shechva zera, there's a natural fluid that comes and cleans out all the urine from the area first, so that it shouldn't ruin the shechva zera. Okay, so when can you not have an akar? When will you avoid being an akar? When you act like a behemoth and urinate publicly. No, it's referring to not having talmidim or not having your tefillos rejected. As long as you are willing to urinate publicly like a behemoth. A person shouldn't urinate on top of klicharis or on top of hard ground. Because if you go on klicharis, that gets thrown into the river, and that all goes into the area where the mikvah by the Beis HaMikdash is. A woman shouldn't go to the bathroom in front of a child. If she goes sideways, that's not a problem. Holding in gedolim or ketanim causes all sorts of diseases. Dam rabba, shchin rabba, Shechva Zera Rabba, Tsaras Rabba, Tsora Rabba, Hidrokin Rabba, Meroglaim Rabba, Yerokin Rabba. All of these things cause all sorts of diseases if you have too much of any of these things. Ruach Saras Baal of my knee. What is Ruach Saras? Tanu Ruach Ben Nefelim Baal Lav. That you have some sort of demon that seizes a person. Hamushvanu Baal Gever. Tanu Meshuban Bebeitzim. Meshuban is in the testicles. Baal Gever Begid. And that's about the Gid. Tanu Meshuban Zakayin Hagravasan Zabalkik. Kayin Bebeitzim Garvasan Begid. Same idea. Va'ad Kama. How big does it have to be that it's a mum? Machvir of Yuda Adruchuva if it goes all the way down to the knee. Tainer Blazer Ben Yaakov Omer Adruchuva Pasul Lamalam and Ruchuva Kasher. If it goes down to the knee, it's Pasul. If it goes above the knee, it's Kasher. Ikadami Adruchuva Kasher Lamatam and Ruchuva Pasul. Some say no, all the way up until the knee, including down to the knee, is Kasher. When it goes lower than that, it's Pasul. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll continue with the mission tomorrow.